You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We are visiting with Ilan Berman, one of the smartest guys I know on, well, a host of issues, for that matter. We've been talking about Iran demonstrating his chops on the efforts there to break free on the part of the people of Iran of their totalitarian masters, the mullahocracy, and I pray from your lips to God's ears that there will be a change of government there with our considered help. Ilan, let me turn to a couple of other things quickly. This is going to be the rapid round on a host of issues that you cover. Let me talk to you first and foremost about North Korea, Ilan. We're watching play out a drama of exchanges of testy statements and tweets between the President of the United States, the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, but it's against the backdrop of Kim Jong-un making great strides, it seems, in terms of the nuclear buildup and the threats that that enables him to make to us, quite credibly, unfortunately. Also, the opening of sort of a new, it appears, sunshine policy, a charm offensive between the North and the South Koreans. Your thoughts on those topics?
No, I think that's right. And actually, you're seeing some pretty shrewd moves on the part of the North Korean regime, at least of late. It has extended an olive branch to South Korea. It's signaled its willingness to resume talks. And it has said that it's going to send an official state delegation to the upcoming Winter Games in South Korea. All of these are tactical moves. And I think there's a danger here because the way the administration is reading them seems to be that these moves, these apparently reconciliatory moves on the part of the North Koreans are as a result of the pressure that the White House has brought to bear as a result of sort of American intimidation. This may be, but it may also be a shrewd move on the part of the North Koreans to try to fragment the international consensus that the Trump administration has worked so hard to build about the need to isolate North Korea and to pressure them more.
It may be shrewd, Ilan. It just seems to me it was such an obvious play, especially with the president of South Korea being a leftist who's anxious to make a separate peace with the North Koreans if he can. So it's predictable. I guess the only question is, why has it taken so long? I wanted to ask you about China. It is clearly seen now as the enabler of the North Koreans. It has yet to be seen as the partner that many people have claimed it would be in bringing it to heel. In fact, I don't know if you caught this, but Bill Gertz had a very interesting piece in the Washington Free Beacon the last couple of days in which he had what appeared to be a secret document from inside the senior reaches of the Chinese government talking basically, very candidly, about the double game that they're going to play, that they have been playing, but they're going to continue to play with respect to propping up North Korea and thwarting America, as long as they don't do any more of those nasty nuclear tests. Did you see that? And more to the point, do you have thoughts as we sit here now of the prospects in 2018 of the Chinese actually breaking with rather than enabling the North Korean dictatorship?
Sure. Well, I didn't see Bill's report, but it rings true to me because I think it's very clear from Chinese conduct that they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. North Korea is a very useful proxy tool for them to sort of to ratchet up pressure against the West and all to sort of essentially create a problem and then to allow Beijing to posit itself as a solution to that problem, right, which China has done, I think, very deftly. At the same time, though, there are limits to this sort of relationship. The Chinese leadership has expressed multiple times that they're far less comfortable with the new, young, brash leader of North Korea than they were with his father. And so whether that translates into concrete action, we haven't seen any yet. But there is at least a sort of a potential for the North Koreans to take it too far. But at least for now, the Chinese aren't playing a helpful role.
I was going to say, the concrete action that we have seen seems to me to be pretty much propping up the regime rather than bringing it to heel, notably Ilan, by giving them weapons, some of which it seems are pointed at us, which is unfriendly, shall we say. Turning to another unfriendly outfit, I wanted to get your thoughts on Recep Tayyip Erdogan's latest. There have been some rather interesting remarks emanating from him in the wake of a trial here of a Turkish national recently, and I just wonder what your thoughts are, Ilan, as to the status of this putative NATO ally, for many years a very important strategic partner in a very important part of the world, not so much anymore.
No, exactly right. Look, I think all of us here in D.C. have watched Turkey's rather rapid descent into Islamist authoritarianism with mounting concern, not only because this was a country that we once counted on as a stalwart ally, but because we're tethered to Turkey in a way that we really can't break, at least not at the moment, right, which is sort of through the NATO alliance. And this is actually, I think, a very profound conversation that needs to be started by the Trump administration. Alliances aren't permanent. They're not eternal. National interests are eternal. And we have seen Turkey over the last several years take a decidedly Middle Eastern, anti-Western tack in its foreign policy and in its strategic thinking. And at some point, this has to be addressed by NATO. Otherwise, NATO is going to be held hostage by Turkey's Islamist leanings. And the longer it is not, the less effective the alliance becomes in terms of decision-making and force projection.
I couldn't agree with that more. And the trouble is, as everyone in Washington certainly, I think, appreciates, if not in Brussels, is the problem that there isn't an obvious mechanism for removing the Turks from NATO. And that seems to me to be something that has to be part of that conversation rather urgently. Let me ask you about two other places that the president has rather firmly put a bead on: the Palestinian Authority and the Pakistani government. He's really called them out. He has been signaling a willingness to cut them off. I think, in fact, he has begun the process of cutting off the Pakistanis, at least for some of their aid from us. What's your sense of the appropriateness of that policy shift with respect to both of these entities?
Well, so I think both totally appropriate and long overdue, and both strategically very important. With regard to the Palestinians, the decision, the signal that the U.S. isn't prepared to provide more aid to the Palestinian Authority unless they take a more constructive role in Israeli-Palestinian negotiations is exactly right. Because you had the reverse situation under the Obama administration, in which we gave the Palestinians money no matter how intransigent they were, and it created a dynamic by which the Palestinians dug in their heels, refused to compromise on key issues that were of importance to Israel, and expected to get their payday anyway. This is, I think, a very strong signal. We'll see how the Palestinians react to it, but this is a very strong signal that the Trump administration isn't ready to play that game.
And Pakistan?
Yeah, well, with regard to Pakistan, I think this is, in fact, if anything, more strategically important, because Pakistan has played a very effective blackmail game with the United States, in which it has posited itself as an ally in the war on terror while aiding and abetting the very groups that we were fighting against, and extracting money from the U.S. government while doing so by simply saying that, you know, we're doing the best we can, and if you don't support us, Islamists are going to take over our country and they'll be in control of a nuclear arsenal. And this has been a very effective tool so far. But the Trump administration has signaled that it's not ready to continue that charade, that it expects Pakistan to do better, and now the ball's in Islamabad's court. And hopefully the Pakistanis will take a more constructive role. But if they don't, this has dramatic implications for, example, for how we resource the ongoing fight in Afghanistan if the Pakistanis shut off maritime supplies through Karachi.
We are going to have that conversation with you, I hope, again in the near future. Ilan Berman, thank you so much for your time today. Several really important books that I want to commend to you all, written by Ilan Berman: Winning the Long War, Retaking the Offensive Against Radical Islam, and his most recent, Iran's Deadly Ambition, The Islamic Republic's Quest for Global Power. Ilan, thanks. Keep up the great work at the American Foreign Policy Council. I hope we will have a chance to talk with you often in 2018. Again, Happy New Year to you, my friend. Next up, Henry Cooper joins us, Ambassador Cooper, on the nuclear buttons and what's behind them. Straight ahead.